So I'm going to change things up just a little bit. I know if we've got young people going to children's church, anybody have that today? Because I don't know if you do or don't. Is that a yes? Okay, we'll let the young ones go. But this may throw our feet off, and I hope it doesn't. We want to keep our I'm gonna keep the worship team up. You guys don't have to keep playing, you know, trade off all that good stuff, because I do have a little bit of a word I want to bring this morning. And I don't think it's coincidental that the last song here is we just don't want to leave your presence. You know, we're caught up in a holy moment now, and I never want to leave. And so you know, I don't want to leave this moment. I want to make it as holy as possible. But I do have a word I want to bring this morning. Even if it's just thank you, bro. Even if it's just a quick word of encouragement, sermonette, if you will. But I do want to keep this holy moment going. Again, I'm trying not to interrupt our feed as much as possible. So let's just kind of keep and maintain this thought. I want to talk to you guys a little bit. I'm going to break off just a piece of me. That's all I'm going to do. That's probably the most freeing word that I've had when it comes to, you know, speaking and things of that nature, because you get caught up trying to make things look a certain way and speak a certain way and make sure that things fit the mold. But this morning we're gonna and break off a little piece of my week and go from there. And I don't think it will be really long. Tell you what, yeah, that's good. Y'all just kind of keep trading off. Y'all can sit down if you want to. I mean, take a break, take a load off. Yeah. And then we'll let Jeffrey decide if we need to cut the lights on for a little bit, and we can go from there. So this past week, it's kind of been the culmination of one of the jobs that I have, which is coaching wrestling. And I'm not going to make any apologies that I do that to any of you. I'm glad Nick's here this morning, because if there's no one else that can understand what we're talking about, Nick can help me with this this morning. But we train all year for the week that we had last week, and all the preparation goes into that. You know, my word for 2021 for me was persevere, from 1 James. Count it all opportunities that we should persevere and move forward. If he said to, then that's fine. You know, we'll be okay. To persevere and move forward, because I will say this is year number 20 for me in coaching, not teaching but coaching. And I would say this has probably been the most difficult year that I've had. Not difficult, but it's a bad word. You know, you got to phrase things properly. And that is to, I guess, to say the most opportunities presented themselves this year. And it wasn't all due to COVID. I'm not going to give COVID any more credit than what it deserves. That's just me and my own personal philosophy. But there was a lot of difficulties that took place. But over the weekend, we were able to crown a couple of state champions, right? And man, that's it. That's the reason. Physically, that's the reason that we have this job, is to end up with as many kids as we can at the top of the podium, and that's it. And so we were able to do that this weekend. And so I'm going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to talk about that, but there's some biblical truth in what I want to talk about this morning. So like I said, we were able to crown a couple of state champs. We made history, had our first girls state champion in school history over the weekend, and you know, so we're very proud of her. And she's got a great relationship. We've got our own girls head coach now, so we're excited about that. But you know, our 220-pounder was able to win the state title this weekend. And I'm just telling you guys, like, there's nothing like the feeling after that kid wins a match and it's their first one, and they've climbed to the top and they've kind of come from nowhere, and they freight train you. You know what I mean? And they run and they jump on you, and there's nastiness, and you don't care, man. It's just, that is, I can't describe to you how awesome that feeling is. I can't. And it's not like it in any other sport. You know, when you team victory, everybody's jumping around, hugging on each other. But, you know, this one kid has went through all this and kind of persevered. So I want to talk about his journey a little bit, and kind of some things that we do. And then I promise you there's some scripture in here with us. But, you know, Brock, and I'll say his name, he's old enough now, he's 18, so I don't know what the rules on that are, but, you know, whether we can say their names or not. But one thing that I do for my guys at the end of the year is, it's almost like they get their own IEP. for you teachers. Like, they get their own individualized training plan, because, you know, 100% of our technique and game plan stuff, it's been put in by then, and now it's about catering to that individual to make that individual as successful as possible. And so a few years ago, I started developing, and, you know, Daniel's here, he's had one of these, you know, this packet. I'll just call it a packet. Make sure you've got your packet of information, and it's detailed to each person. And so as I started getting ready for today's, you know, whatever you call these things, sermons, I guess, speaking, I started looking at what goes into that plan. And so at the top of this plan, and it's very similar for most guys, right? And I could have shared it and let you guys see it, but it's got his name at the top, and it's got a general overview and purpose, which is to ensure that we're attaining a training regimen necessary to accomplish our goals, right? And that training looks different for everybody. But at the very top of the list, it says elements of high priority, right? And then as the list goes on, it's like, hey, it's what you're going to do from your feet. This is what you do when you're on bottom, when you're on top. But I want to read through the elements of high priority and the training, and then we want to get into the word and go from there, okay? So, elements of high priority. Number one, physically train at an elite level that few are doing, okay? You got to physically train at an elite level that few are doing. To get something that not everybody has, you're going to have to do some things that not everybody does. So, you need to physically train at an elite level that few are doing. Number two, mentally have the correct game plan for every match. So physically train at an elite level, and mentally you've got to be at an elite level as well. Okay. Number three, I need you to have an internal peace, knowing that your physical training and your mental preparation is good enough. You need to have an internal peace that everything's fine. No angst. You shouldn't have anxiety or nervousness or any of those things, because you have an internal peace that you've done everything that you need to do. Like we said earlier, the hay's in the barn, right? Hay's in the barn. So, you know, you've done everything that you need to do to get this done. Number five, don't force anything. You don't have to force anything. And we can talk about that in a match. You're not going to make something happen that's not there. Don't force anything. Let these things come to you. Don't be impatient, basically, is the key here. Don't be impatient. Let these things come to you. Then as I scroll to the bottom, and this is, again, this is individualized to each kid. We've got a relationship. When we talk about training, you need to execute everything on this list with 100% effort, because there's a difference between executing everything on this list and then executing everything on this list with 100% effort. Number two, read your Bible 5 minutes before you go to bed. Because what you're going to do is you're going to lay in bed and you're going to be anxious about, man, I've got this match coming up and I've got this kid and I know he likes to do this. And you're going to start going through that match in your head. And you need to do that. But you don't need to do that while you're trying to get rest. You need to rest mentally and physically. And there's nothing that brings internal peace than reading truth, right? Undisputable truth. Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for truth. When we base our day and our success on these ideologies that come from me, there could be faults there. There could be mistakes there. There's not any mistakes in this word. There's nothing that's wrong with that. So if you want internal peace, you need to read this word. Don't be afraid to score is what it says, but don't be afraid is the key. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid of success. Don't be afraid to be who you are. Have faith in yourself and the plan. And so, you know, I had written down in my notes, what does it take to become a state champion? And I started writing down these things, and then I went, wait a minute. We've already got these things written in the plan. It's in the plan. You got to follow the plan to find success. And so, anyways, I wanted to talk a little bit about that and the process and then the culmination. Because, see, not everybody reaches that pinnacle of being a state champion, right? There's only one. There's only one of them. And so what happened to the other however many kids in that weight class in the state of Georgia that didn't win a state championship? I would say 70, 85, 90% of them don't do anything like that. They don't do anything like that. They don't have a plan. They don't plan for internal peace. I'd say 90% of them train physically just about as hard as anybody. But there's a very small percentage that's willing to push everything else to the side and and do what needs to be done. And then even then, there takes some luck and all those things. And being the state champion cannot be the end all be all, because if you don't find success there, was it all not worth it? It's not the case. There's a lot of lessons that you learn within the process. And so I want to read a couple of scriptures to you this morning. And listen, if it's not good for you, that's okay. It was good for me. Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to start off reading verse 2. All right. I'm going to go 2 through before we come back to verse 1. And these are blessings in your life that the Lord gives. We'll get there. Let's just start reading verse 2. It says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket, your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And then for the next 6 or 7 verses, it just continues to talk about how blessed you're going to be and all these wonderful things that you're going to get and all these things that are going to come to you. But if we go back and we read verse 1 and 2, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commandments, the Lord's plans are to bless you. The Lord's plans are to have you at the top of that podium in some shape, form, or fashion. Whether it's being a state champion in wrestling, whether it's being the patriarch of your family, whether it's being the matron of your family, regardless of what it's supposed to be for you, the plan for success starts with obedience. We know that the word tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice, but if you don't obey these commands fully, is what it says in Deuteronomy 1:28:1. You have to obey these commands fully, because when you take bullet point number 4 off, or number 3 off, or you don't do it to 100% fidelity, right, then you're not in full compliance. You're not fully obeying with the plan. And if you don't fully obey with the plan, the second part of Deuteronomy gets pretty bad right there, 28. The second part of that chapter, and it's a long chapter, and the cursings are a lot worse than the blessings, right? But this boils down to sowing what you reap and being obedient. And so as I read that after this weekend, as I was kind of reflecting on, again, the successes and the failures of the weekend, that's where you find the 99.9% that don't reach the top of the podium. We obey when it feels right, and we obey when these truths are our truths, right? And we obey when it's easy to obey. You know, our big slogan, and I've preached about this before at Carrollton Wrestling, is choose right. Whatever you do, just do the right thing. You don't have to have a lot of rules when you do it that way. I don't need 98 team rules. Just do the right thing. You know the right thing. It starts in here. Right, I don't have to ask a kid whether or not it's okay to cheat on a test. They know the answer is no, right? Is it okay to slack on a sprint? No is the answer. So if you'll just choose the right thing, things. But we get caught up in trying to find the gray. We get caught up trying to find the gray area. Like, I'm really tired today, and I didn't eat well, and so maybe I won't run this sprint to full fidelity, right? Maybe I'll leave the dishes out for one more night because it's not that big a deal. There's always tomorrow to wash them, right? And we find these gray areas, and those are in the physical, but I'm talking about in the spiritual. We find these gray areas. You know what? I'm not going to spend my alone time today. I got a busy day, woke up late. You prioritize things that way, guys. And it's not about your words, it's about your actions. I'll never forget my entire high school athletics career. I don't think I had a coach that didn't say something like this. Boys, you got to get your priorities right. You got to make sure your priorities are in order. God's number one, guys. It's God, your family, and then this team. I guarantee you, if you played high school sports, you had at least one guy, but all mine said that. You know how many of mine that lived that? Very few. I had some great coaches and mentors, but very few lived that, right? Very few lived that. And what I mean by that is it's your actions that get it done. It's what happens when nobody's watching, okay? And the plan for everybody shouldn't be the same. The plan for everybody is not the same. There's a couple of things that are in this that are in every one of my wrestlers' packets. Train with 100%, you know, effort. That's in everybody's packet because that's a truth. That's a universal truth. But not everything is universal. If we read Psalm 139, let's see. I'll find that thing. There's only 8 million Psalms. Verse 14. It says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And again, it'll go on. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what works for Brett House, not going to work for Daniel Muse. Okay, there are some universal truths in there. You've got to do them to 100% fidelity, 100% effort. But your plan's not going to look like his. Which, again, brings me back to all this garbage that we look at, whether it's social media or whatever, and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, maybe not physically, but in here you are. Your pictures need to look a certain way, right? Your posts need to be a certain way. But guess what? My plan don't look the same as your plan. I can't chase down what's right for you, Luke, and you don't need to chase down what's right for me. I see you see this in everything. Child rearing. There are some universal truths in raising children. Okay? You need to love them. You need to feed them. Those are two things that are true. Okay? I know that. That's that. I don't think we'll dispute that. They need love. They need to be fed. They need shelter. The rest of it's up to you. I don't raise my kid the same way you raise your kid. And I don't care. Right? And you shouldn't either. Right? My kid needs what my kid needs. Right? This guy, I knew that if I started training him in wrestling when the time he was five, he would hate it by the time he was seven. Because, you know, I know where I would be. And it would 100% fidelity, success, this, that, and the other, right? I know that I would make him do certain things. So I didn't do that. We really started this year. Kid won the little league championship this year, too, right? I mean, that's my guy. I know what he needs because that's my son. You know what yours need because it's your son. Okay, you know it. So whether it's child rearing, whether it's marriage, my marriage don't look like Sid Garner's marriage. It looks completely different. But that's okay. That's all right because it's mine. Right there are some universal truths. I need to love her. I need to be faithful to her. She needs to know those things. But after that, it's going to look a little different. Our jokes are different than your jokes. You probably wouldn't like them. You might judge us. You might think we're a little different, a little weird. That's okay. I didn't marry you. All right? So it's mine. It's mine. And it's different. And the Lord lets us know that we're different. I teach my high school kids this all the time. I always go with the whole peer pressure lesson. You guys may have heard me say this before from this pulpit. You know, I always ask them, I'm like, oh, man, how about peer pressure? And they're like, oh, it's really bad, man. You know, kids. Okay, well, what's a peer? And we always end up at this definition that a peer is somebody like you. Ah, I got you. There's nobody like you. So don't feel the pressure that everybody else walks around and tries to put on you. Your home doesn't need to look like anybody else's. It needs to look like yours. Your car doesn't need to look like anybody else's. It needs to look like yours. Your faith doesn't need to look like anybody else's. It needs to look like yours. Okay, because there's a difference between mine and your faith. There's a difference between that woman that fought through the crowd just to grab the hem of Jesus' garment. Right? And then the man that was waiting on the presence of Jesus. Both of those faiths executed and manifested, let's try that again, the glory of God. Because both miracles took place. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong. Both of them were their own personal faith journeys. And so yours is going to look a little different than mine. But there are some universal truths to our faith. We must have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the Messiah. That's the difference between, the only difference between whether you're a Christian or not really boils down to you believe Jesus is the Messiah. You can't dispute whether the fact Jesus Christ walked this earth. Not disputed. They can't dispute that. Nobody can dispute that. The difference is, who is he to you? Right? And then after that, it's your personal relationship with him. Because my relationship with everybody in this room looks a little bit different. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't need to look the same. Romans chapter 13. I don't know that I'll turn and read there, but I'm not going to now. It talks about why you need authority in your life. It's there for correction. Okay? That's why we need authority in our life. It's there for correction. And so when Brock Bibby goes to execute this plan in practice, if he doesn't execute it 100% perfect, it's my job to step in and correct him. Authority is there in your life for correction, not damnation. Authority is there for conviction and correction, not condemnation. That's the deal. And if you're in a position of authority, that's where you should operate, and that's how you activate. I don't go at Brock and say, hey, man, that's 100% garbage, and start telling him all the things he's done wrong. Hey, man, that's wrong. Let's fix it. Do it right. You've heard the statement, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. I'll tell you a good coach right now, Courtney. I can walk out and I can watch him coach practice for about 10 minutes. I'll tell you whether I want him or not with me. There's a couple of things. A, does he have a good relationship with his players? If that's a yes, then we're halfway there. The other thing is, what does he do during practice? Because the rep is either right or it's wrong. The repetition is either right or it's wrong. So if it's right, hey, man, good job. Nailed it. It was perfect. Bang. Yeah, you can get out. I'll let you. Or, hey, man, that wasn't perfect. It looked real good, but you missed this part. Your toe wasn't in the right spot. Your arms weren't in the right spot. Your position was wrong. Yeah, I know you were successful, but it wasn't perfect. And that's how I'll tell you if you got a good coach or not in those two things. Whether he or she has a great relationship with their players, and if they're working, if they're coaching. And if you're in a position of authority and you're not coaching and you're not every rep, if you're not doing your job to 100% fidelity. And if you're wondering why the blessings aren't coming, it's because we're lacking in our obedience. We're being obedient, but to what extent, right? Like, to what extent are we being obedient? Again, it's there to correct action. And if you don't, one of two things happen. Okay? If the actions aren't corrected, dwelling on these actions only breeds bitterness and contempt. So if you're in a position of authority and you don't make a correction, you just let that thing fester and infect, right? But if you're not, if you're the person who is being corrected and you don't receive correction, again, it just breeds contempt. That's not where we need to be, right? And so we're not walking 100% in the faith that we should walk in. This weekend during Brock Bibby's state championship match, and this is where I got to talk to Nick. He's the only one who can figure this out for me. We end up going into overtime, okay? Now, we scored first, and that's very important in the wrestling world. It means we're going to get to choose what we want to do eventually in this overtime. And so we scored first, and we go to overtime, and things are going exactly the way we want them to go. Like, the game plan is being executed to 100% fidelity. Then we made a mistake, okay? There's about 10 seconds left, and we're on top in the ride-out situation, okay? So we've made it through the first period, the sudden death period, and we're riding this kid from Cambridge, who was undefeated, by the way, coming into this match. Not anymore. I'm just saying. And we're riding this kid out, and there's about 10 seconds left in the overtime. Whistle blows, and we lock hands. And we did it, too. Like, it wasn't like, oh, it's a bad call. We locked hands, and this is huge because – if this kid gets out now, he's up by 2 points. And in our attempt to get out, you're only going to get one getting out. And so now it's imperative that we ride this kid out for this next 10 seconds. Otherwise, we're in a world of hurt. Well, fortunately, the referee, it was his job to say, hey, man, you were wrong. And he stopped the match, gave the locked hand signal, and our kid and the coaches could have reacted with bitterness and contempt. But, hey, right's right and wrong's wrong. Now we've got to finish the drill. We didn't spend the timeouts, those 4 seconds of going, oh, man, this bull crap. Hey, man, we got to ride him out now. We got to finish the drill here. We made a mistake. Now we got to make the correction. We're able to ride this guy out. We're able to ride him out. The other thing that happens in this match that was really, really awesome, and I promise you this all ties together with some word, is at the end of that little 30-second period, we knew it was going to happen. I'd watch this kid all. He took an injury timeout because he was tired. And so we knew it was coming. Yeah, we knew it was coming. And Jamie, I told him. And so, we were able to – it didn't surprise us. Nobody got mad. Like, oh, man, it was bull crap. We didn't do that. We knew, hey, man, we know this is coming. So he takes his injury timeout, and it allows me to walk out there and talk to my guy, right, and calm him down and say, look, dude, here's where we are. We need to get the escape right here. And just a reminder, you get choice in the ultimate tiebreaker. He's like, I got choice. I said, yeah. He goes, Coach, this match is over. He said that. He looked at me. I'm telling you, man, it jacks me up. He looked at me in the eyes. He said, I get choice. And he looks up at me and said, Coach, this match is over. Like he knew right then that he was going to do what he was there to do because he's been there. He's been there mentally, physically, and spiritually. 90% of the wrestlers, they'll do it physically. But that mental and spiritual training is something that I feel very strongly about that I feel like we execute to fidelity. And so he wins a state title. He gets up. And this other kid, to his credit, knows that if we go to that next period, he's going to lose because he can't keep us on the mat. So he has to sell out and go for broke to try to take us down. And obviously he messes up and we win the state title. Bitterness and contempt would have lost that match. Not being mentally prepared for opportunities that are going to come, like they say in 1 James, we count it all joy. This is just an opportunity for me to show that I've been here in my head a million times. You know, Coach Armas, who is a guy that I look up to and many do when it comes to wrestling, you know, I've had him come speak to my teams before, and, you know, he always leads with this. He's like, how many here has won a state title? How many times have you done it? And if the answer is not like a million, he'll tell you, dude, you're wrong. You got to win it up here well before you actually get to do it. And so because we were mentally prepared, because we were obedient to the plan, right? He was obedient to the plan. And then this last little bit here, and I know it's just a different morning, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to spend some time in the altar in your seats, you know, asking how obedient that you and I have been to God's plan in my life and how much I'm trying to make it look like somebody else's. But when we talk about David and Goliath, and I don't know why this one just kind of popped into my heart as I was reading this and thinking about this weekend, you know, growing up, and of course we didn't go to church growing up, we just didn't, but I'd heard the story of David and Goliath, and I always had this picture in my brain that at some point in time, this little bitty old boy comes out to fight this giant, and God sprinkled the fairy dust on David, and he goes out, and yay, you know, Team Jesus. That's not how it went down, you know? As he's getting ready and prepared to fight Goliath, he does Saul later, but he's getting ready and prepared. He's telling Saul, look, dude, don't sweat this. Don't worry about this. There's this one time at the house, I had to kill a bear or a lion, right? Grabbed him by the beard, slit his throat, you know, and did that. So I tell this all the time, but here's the thing. Progress is gained, and I put this in the woods. What's done in secret prepares you for victory. Because he wasn't, you know, guarding those sheep in the city. He wasn't guarding those sheep at school where everybody could see him and make him popular. There was no Snapchat or Instagram that he could take a picture of himself doing it, right? Look what I did today. It was done in the secret place. Progress is found in your secret place. It ain't found in mine. It's not found with me necessarily putting my hand on you and praying a prayer for you. If you want progress to be in your life, you've got to find it in your secret place. Whether it's out in the woods with a field of sheep, or whether it's in your closet. It's Jamie's spot. Sorry, out you. That's her spot. It's the closet. Goes to the closet. That's her spot. But that's where progress is found. Brock Bibby didn't win the state title in Macon, Georgia with 100,000 mats and all the protocols. He won it in the summer. Nobody was there, you know. We cut the lights off at the end of practice. I don't know if y'all do that. I cut the lights off, and I start playing Phil Collins because that's what they're going to play, you know, at the state. Now, they didn't this year, but you know, that's what they're going to do. And we're preparing for the moment. And that's what we tell them. Look, we're going to win this thing when nobody's watching, because it's not about the clicks and the likes. It's not about the hat and the T-shirt. It's not even about the ring, right? It's about the process and what it takes to become a champion. Even the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says everyone, 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Everyone that competes is in strict training. If you're in life, you need to have some type of strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. 1 Corinthians 9. Kid won a crown this weekend, and it's not going to last. And he went into, guys, I'm telling you, I cannot tell you enough. My athletic director was a basketball coach. Said this weekend. He said, guys, there is not a more difficult sport than wrestling. Because he's seen it. He's been to practice. He's seen what they go through. He's watched them at lunch. You know, it's not just physical. It's mental. It's spiritual. It's emotional training that we got to go through. And there's nothing tougher than that. As far as sports are concerned, to win that crown that not going to last. As if you are not in training every single day, strict training every single day, I don't want us to miss that opportunity that we talk about in James that's going to pass. It doesn't need to pass you by. If you can go into strict training, and you can put your teams through strict training, if you put your children through strict training on how to act and how to be and how to live, we're missing the boat if we're not doing the same thing in our spiritual life. if we are not enacting in strict training, when nobody's watching, not at church, on your own, in your own time, in your prayer closet, when the lights are off and worship music's playing, if we are not making that a priority in our life, you're not going to win that crown. You'll miss that opportunity when you're walking through Walmart and you're upset because you got to put a mask on and somebody walks by that just needed you to say, hey, man, hey, how's it going? And smile at them because you were too much into your feelings, right? You're too much into you. You got to get rid of you. And that's part of the training that has to be done is you've got to get rid of you. I mean, that, you know, you've got to get rid of you. And it's hard to the flesh. That training is very hard to the flesh, and it's easy to reject. And so we'd be foolish to think that this type of training that we've got to do spiritually isn't hard for our flesh and easy to reject. It's easy to if it's easy not to run a sprint, much easier is it to do not to read your Bible 5 minutes before you go to bed. And if I feel like that that's a priority that's high enough to give an 18-year-old kid to win a state title, then I feel like it's pretty probably a high priority to give a 40-year-old man to win that crown that we're going to have in heaven, right? It's a pretty high priority. And so I guess really the culmination of this is you've got to trust in the Lord to provide you that plan that's for you, that's personalized for you. It's 100% just for you. You've got to trust him. See, Brock Bibby could have rejected the plan. I don't trust that guy. He don't know what he's talking about. You know, he ain't been there, ain't done that. I just do my thing. He had to put trust in the plan because you didn't get the whole plan, just so y'all know. You know. There was a lot of individualized stuff for him and his training there, right? He had to make the determination that what was in his little plan was true and right and what he needed. He had to trust in that. We've got to trust in our plan that it's true and it's right and it's what needed. And there are universal truths like training hard. There's universal truths like get some internal peace. That's in here. These are your universal truths, guys. Right here in between these pages. There are universal truths in those pages. You won't survive as a Christian, however, just on that. I don't think. I'm challenging my theology on this if you want to. I don't get paid or, you know, they may ask me how to preach again. I don't know. But you've got to fill in the blanks. See, I got a template for this. I keep this template, right? And I erase everything, and I fill in the blanks for each individual kid. Right? Here's your template. Now you got to fill in your blanks for you. Right? It doesn't look like everybody else's. And so I guess I wanted to kind of keep this time period to give you guys the opportunity that God gave me. And that's really all it is. When I speak, guys, it's just regurgitating the stuff that God has shown me. So this morning, I just kind of want to give you guys the opportunity to do that. So I feel like you guys will probably move a little bit more if I make you stand up. So everybody stand. It's cool. I don't have to do that, but you do. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and if you feel like it's your time to come up here and spend some time at the altar, if it's to take communion, if it's to drop, you know, money in this basket here, if it's to bring your wife or kids down here and pray with them so that God starts revealing, you know, his plans and individual things to you or to them, then do that. If it's your time to pray with somebody else, do that. But guys, faith takes action. Faith takes action. There's a lot of stuff that we can read. And if Brock read that plan 100 times a day and didn't do any of it, he would have failed. There's at some point in time, there's a do part. There's an action. There's a verb that takes place. And sometimes it does look like walking all the way up here to this part of the carpet. Sometimes it looks different for everybody. So don't feel like you have to do something, right? So let's pray, and then I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to pray here in this corporate body, in this corporate moment that I know our Father's at. Lord, we just come to you. We thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, I thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. I know that it wasn't necessarily a sermon, God, but I thank you for the opportunity just to share my story this morning, God. And I pray, God, that it liberates others, God. I pray that that's what we do when we overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, God. I pray that it liberates others to do the same thing, God. And so I pray that you start to unlock some pieces, God, some pieces of each person's plan in this place this morning. God, I pray that you begin to fill in the blanks for them, God. I pray that they press into you, Father God, that when nobody's watching and when nobody's around, Father, they find their time with you, Father God. Then you start to build those pieces, God, that you show them those universal truths that we're missing, God. You show me those universal truths that I'm missing, God, and you fill in the blanks for my plan, God. I pray for peace, God, a peace that only comes in knowing you, a peace that only comes with fully 100% executing the plans that you have for us, because the plans that you have for us are great, God. You want to bless us. You tell us that in your word. You want our storehouses to be full, Father. Yeah, and that looks different, God. It doesn't necessarily mean money, God. And I get that. I know your plans for us are great. I know your plans for my marriage is holy. I know your plans for my kids are holy. I know your plans for my career, they are holy. They're higher than my thoughts and ways, God. I pray, Father God, that I'm able to execute the plan that you give me, God, in full 100% obedience and fidelity, God. And I pray that I'm mature enough to embrace correction, God. I pray that I'm mature enough to see the mistakes that we make, God. And I just thank you for this house. I thank you for this body. I thank you for our worship team, God. I thank you for this holy moment. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, guys, come. If not, that's cool too.